Saga Egmont presents Keep Her Silent by Teresa Talbot, read by Kathleen McCarran. Prologue. Cartland, 1975. There was no colour in this place. The white walls bled into themselves and the ceiling met the floor, suffocating Dorothy trapped in between. She ran her finger along the side of the bed, picking off the white paint from the metal frame, letting the sharp flecks embed themselves under her fingernails, enjoying seeing the blood-red bruise spider outwards. At first, she tried to keep the date in her head by the number of days that had passed, counting them out by the daylight shining through the tiny, opaque window behind the metal grid. But she had no way of knowing how long she'd been awake, or how long she had slept. And like the white walls, the days and nights bled into themselves and became just one long stretch in purgatory. The small metal shutter on the door slid open, and Dorothy felt the now familiar sickness rise in her stomach. A fat face filled the hole. "See that mad cow that choked up her husband? That crazy bitch that drowned her own Wayne?" That was what they said outside her door when they thought she couldn't hear. Or maybe they knew she could hear, and that was why they said it. "Oi, you awake?" Dorothy lifted her eyes to the door but didn't answer. "Oi, are you fucking deaf or what? I asked if you were awake." She still didn't answer, and Fat Face opened the door. "Watch her, she's bloody mental." A woman shot Fat Face a look.
"Please close the door and leave us alone, will you?"
She walked over to Dorothy.
"May I?"
She gestured to the empty stool. It seemed like a long time since anyone had been nice to her, offered her the common courtesies afforded to decent folk.
"I'm Dr. Skelton. Can I speak with you for a few moments?"
Dorothy nodded her head and Dr. Skelton sat down. Dorothy took in her good leather shoes and dark tan nylons. She wasn't wearing any jewellery, but her nails were perfect little pink shells. Underneath her white coat, she wore a dark camel skirt and cream sweater. Dorothy longed for her own things, her own jewellery, her wardrobe full of expensive clothes.
"Dorothy, do you know why I'm here?"
She shook her head.
"Dorothy."
She used her name at the beginning of each sentence, as though Dorothy would forget who she was otherwise.
"We're trying to work out why you did what you did."
Dorothy shot her a blank look.
"You know your husband and son are dead, Dorothy, don't you?"
Dorothy didn't answer. Instead, she glanced at the hemline of Dr. Skelton's skirt.
"Is that Italian?"
A hint of confusion worried her forehead before she answered.
"Oh, the skirt? Well, yes, it is, but that's not what I'm here to discuss."
She smoothed her skirt over her knees and continued.
"Dorothy, why did you try to cut out Andrew's heart and wrap it in the pages of the Bible?"
The sickness rose in Dorothy's chest, and spasms tugged the back of her throat as she began to throw up.
"Dorothy, if you won't talk to me, I can't help you. Please, just let me help you. Did Andrew beat you, Dorothy?"
"No."
Her voice was little more than a whisper.
"What about Robbie? Did he harm your son?"
Her throat ached at the memory of her family, and the pain seared through her body as she tried to claw back what had happened.
"Did he ever abuse Robbie?"
Dr. Skelton caught her eye, and Dorothy couldn't fathom the meaning behind the look.
"Did Andrew interfere with Robbie a bit sexually?"
The words swam in Dorothy's head, and she gagged at the very thought of it.
"No!
It's more common than you think."
Dorothy was glad she lived in a